Yes, indeed, Lord. We stand on this pulpit and preach about the glories of heaven. We think about them. We've never been there. We read about them in the Bible. But always we ask ourselves, what will it be to be there? What really will it be to one day step those roads that are paved with gold? We thank you that you saved our lives, so we have that hope that we are going there. Be with us then, Lord, as we preach your word and listen to it. Use us as vessels and open our inner man to understand your word. Let Christ alone be glorified in this message. No human being. And let yourselves be edified. And let the sinner's heart be broken and be brought to Christ. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Yeah, as we continue with our chapter 27 from the book of Acts. Last Sunday I talked about this story called The Pilgrim's Progress. Yeah, in that story, as Christian was walking by himself, on the way he came across a certain guy called Mr. Worldly Wise Man. Yes, Mr. Worldly Wise Man. He came and asked him, Christian, where are you going? And Christian replied that he was going to the wicket gate, that is the small gate, or the smallest gate. And the reason why Christian was going there was that he could not get rid of a burden on his back. Mr. Worldly Wise Man asked him, and how did you know that you have a burden on your back? Showed him a book and said, by reading this book. Then Mr. Worldly Wise Man gave him an advice. He advised him that instead of continuing to that wicked gate or small gate and reading that book, he should instead go and visit legality and his son civility. Yes, follow the laws and be just someone who is modern. The things of the village. Just go and visit legality and civility. They'll help you out. On hearing this, Christian turned aside and went to Mr. Legality for help. When he turned and started going there, his burden grew heavier. Good enough, immediately evangelists came and Christian was ashamed. Last Sunday we started Paul's long and dangerous journey to meet the great king or emperor Caesar in Rome. And I told you that this journey has got many similarities with a long and dangerous journey to meet the great King and Creator of the heaven and the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in chapter 27. In verse 9, we saw how Paul, using godly wisdom, advised the crew not to continue the journey. But like Mr. Worldly Wiseman, the pilot and the ship owner brought in their worldly wisdom and expertise. Yeah, so this is just, I'm comparing what these people suggested, what Mr. Worldly Wiseman suggested to Mr. Christian. The people of the world know that they are the ones who know things better. Especially after reaching that hill that you call Makerere there. Especially when they have some cash with them. Then you come and tell them something about the Bible, about religions, and no, no. Just be modern. Don't be a villager. So the pilot or the captain and the ship owner used, they were like this worldly wise man. They knew things better. Paul, what are you talking about? You know how many times I've been moving this ship on this Mediterranean Sea? So they use worldly wisdom and expertise. Pastor Bill, what do you want to tell me? I'm a scientist. I'm a lawyer. So you want to bring those, you know where you are an expert from, in which area. And you want to bring them into the things of God. They despised or neglected godly wisdom that was coming from Paul. Always mind the decisions you make in your journey of life. Decide who will be the primary source of your counsel. The primary source of counsel to you, sorry. Between your parents, your teachers, experts, and God's word. You hear children tell their parents, but the teacher told us. But our pastor said, you need to decide who will be the primary source of counsel in your life. Some of us, it's God's word. I don't care whether Pastor Bill is big to the level of Museveni. If what he says does not match what God's word says, I don't go with it. Period. Mind the decisions you make in your journey of life. So today, as we cover verses 13 through 20, we are going to see what happened as the crew despised both godly counsel and continued with their journey. Remember, where they are now is called the Fair Haven. Where you find peace, it's better here. And last Sunday I told you that many people, many human beings want to find their haven, their peace in futile things. I have a degree. I've already built a house at least. Those are fake fair havens. You will have peace and stability only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, they are still debating. Paul says, friends, let us remain at least at fair haven for some time. The pilot or the captain and the ship owner say, no, let's continue. We cannot manage winter here. Paul did not argue with them. Okay, let's go. And the majority decided that they continue their journey. And now the passage of today now is the journey now beginning from Fair Haven towards Phoenix. Many lessons that I want you to learn from this. One, almost always, after following your own and worldly counsel, at the mercy of godly counsel, if you want to follow your things and you despise godly counsel, almost always life appears to be smooth and successful to you. That's what you find in verse 13 here, 27:13. It says, and when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close to the shore. Because remember, they are still uncertain. They know what used to happen in the Mediterranean Sea during that period of time. It was not a good time to travel through the Mediterranean during that period of time. So they are moving with a lot of uncertainty. Now, after deciding that they should continue, proceed with the journey, immediately they feel the south wind blew some smooth and nice gentle breeze. Where is Paul? Don't you see? We will go up to Phoenix. And immediately they enter the ship. They weighed anchor and on their way. The gentle southerly breeze which arose deceived them into thinking that they could manage another 40 miles. Never ever be deceived by the apparent good, peace and successful life you have now. They say, if I do this, I cannot be successful. But don't you see, I'm doing it and I'm okay. The good life you are going through now is deceiving you. You are doing business and it's booming. You have no problem whatsoever. I've even bought my second plot of land. Check where my house has reached. So you see success and success and success. I'm not sick. I'm okay. Even if I did not follow what these Christians told me, but I see life is doing well with me. They saw that small southern breeze. And even as they started going, they went, because the Bible says they go up to close to the shore of Crete. So where is
Pastor David, what does he say always? But I'm doing well. Even if I did not follow whatever he says. Okay, continue in your journey. Almost always, your success does not last long. Verse 14. Almost always, your success does not last long. Verse 14 reads, but soon a tempestuous wind called the Northeaster struck down from the land. Very a short time after that, after that little success, tempestuous, this is means turbulent, stormy, strong wind. It is called Northeaster, others call it Uraquilo or Uraclidon, different names. This is a wind not blowing steadily from any quarter. It does not come from one side moving steadily like this. But it's a hurricane. Wind veering about the different quarters, different directions. So you cannot control it. The wind that moves from one direction to another, the captain can say, okay, let me turn the ship like this and we will be fine. This is a hurricane. You don't predict, you don't know. It comes from all the quarters, all the directions. These winds are common in the Mediterranean Sea. And they normally blow in the eastern part of the Mediterranean. So you see, these guys had not moved long, and the hurricane came. In the Mediterranean during that period, it was terrible. What happened? Almost always, after failing to fight against the storms of life, you decide to surrender. Almost always. Some just said to surrender. That's what we find in verse 15, which says, and when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. The captain tried whatever he could. He tried not to apply the expertise there, but all failed. The vessel was already in great danger. Because once blown out of the lee of Crete, that protected part of Crete, that's called the lee, a part that is protected. It's according to geography. Once a ship is pushed away from that lee of Crete, there were no more ports in the nearby, around there. Only the open sea. And now, this is what the wind has done. It has pushed them from the lee of Crete. So now we surrender. We could not fight it. Because remember, the hurricane, this a storm came from the mountains of Crete. Where they were going, that's where it came from. And so the ship had no power to go through the winds. They are just to stop everything and be moved here and there with the storm. Just exactly the way some of you are with the storms of this world. Now, to the core, to the heart of our message today. Yeah, because in this message, God calls you to stop trying to save yourself. Always, almost, human beings want to save themselves. God says, you won't. You will never save yourself. Now, we come to the five precautionary measures which the crew, the people in the ship took in their desperate attempt to save their sheep and lives. They did not sit back and watch. Just the attitude that you have, those people had. Remember, Paul is moving to Rome, his dream city. Whether outside Christ or inside Christ, it was his dream city. Outside Christ, he was yearning also to go and see this splendid town, city, famous city. Inside Christ, he wanted to go also and sow his seed of the gospel in that populated city. He's amidst the storm. Life and property is at stake. But one thing that was going on inside Paul's heart is, what will it be to be in Rome? I have to reach Rome. And now these people, they have lost hope, but they did not sit back. They come up with five precaution measures to try to save their sheep and their lives. The first measure is found in verse 16. After seeing that Cauda Island could not offer them the shelter they wanted, the first thing they decided to do was to fight hard to save the ship's boat. Which they did with a lot of difficulty. Cauda or Claudas was situated at the southwestern extremity of the island of Crete. Now, let me explain so that you understand what happened here. Up to these days, go to Luzira or any Entebbe, you see these, the Kalangala going to the Kalangala, whatever, this ship going to Kalangala. You find they have small boats on the side. Yeah, these are safety boats. So that in case of any danger in the middle of the lake or sea, people can go into, even those of you who watch the Titanic. And most of these ships put these boats at the back. And they tie them on the outside of the ship. So now they've lost hope. They cannot fight the enemy of this storm because it has overwhelmed them. Follow me well, friends. They did not sit back. the way you don't sit back. Okay. Do it. We'll see the end. Now, they said, oh, we are going to perish. Their minds go to the boat behind. Safety boats. Remember, the vessel is now being tossed to and fro. Even the movement itself to go to where the boat is, it is not easy. But Dr. Luke tells us that they tried at least to make sure they save the boat, the lifeboat. Because it was the most in danger. Yeah, because being outside the ship, the wind was going to throw them at the shore, the sandbank of Crete, and it would be destroyed. So running under the running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. And by using the pronoun we, it means that even Luke and his friends also gave hand, they helped. Managed to get the boat, the lifeboat from outside inside the ship. You know what came into my mind when I saw this? Just as the crew made their first step, their way to the boat. Because they know that when this fails, this ship fails, only the lifeboat can save us. My brother Ray Comfort has got a documentary or one of his preachings. I have it at home. Well, but it's just a small movie of the gospel. It shows people who are in a plane, many feet above the sea, and the plane catches fire, and fire is extending to the cabin. People are screaming, and some guy comes with two things. So there's a suitcase here full of dollars. A lot of dollars. We don't know even the number. The amount, sorry. But also a parachute. So, okay, choose one. Choose one. You who love money more than God. What do you choose? Everyone is fighting for the parachute. Because time comes when you don't need money. When you get this suitcase full of dollars and many miles or feet away from land, what is it going to help you or how? But a parachute, you put it on you and you throw yourself into the air. And you land safely onto the ground. Instead of the parachute in the plane here, it's this lifeboat. And both plays the role of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to go to save Christ's life the way he saved this boat. No, he is your savior. We are all going through the storms of this life. This is a ship. Just consider yourself as those people in that ship. And you lose all hope of life. Where do you put your mind? Kanonye sente. Think about Jesus Christ. No one in his family entered in and it rained, they did not mind. Make your way to Christ today. For safety and salvation of your life. This world is like that sheep. We are surrounded by a lot of storms. And we have no hope of surviving in this life. Whether you have money or not, we don't care. Whether you have a big name, everyone knows you in the world, we don't care. We are all together in this ship in the midst of this hurricane of life. The only thing that can save you from it is this lifeboat that I call Jesus Christ. You can leave this and enter the lifeboat and let it perish there. I'm safe here in the lifeboat. Yeah, so that's the first attempt. Okay, let's continue struggling so long as the lifeboat is inside. Safe. The second measure is found in verse 17a. After finishing that, we did not say, okay, the lifeboat is now secure, so let's sit back. No! Because the storm does not care whether your lifeboat is safe or not. It continues shaking you. Number two, they decided to wrap or undergird the vessel. Yeah, so what's this? Frapping, these days they call it frapping. In the old ages they used to call undergird the sheep. Yes, this is done by passing 4 or 5 tons of a cable laid rope or maybe a chain around the hull, around the frame of the sheep. To hold maybe its timber or its frame in order to enable it to resist the violence of the sea. Yeah, they did it. Look, bring the chain, pass it there, do this, all of them together. It did not help. The third measure is found in verse 17b. Now they are fearing the Sarkis. This is the sandbank. So where the wind was pushing them to, it was at a shore near Libya. And it was known for its a lot of sand on at the shore there. All the sailors used to fear that harbor. So they decided to lower the sea anchor to act as a brake as they drifted onwards. Yeah, so the Sarkis, this is the Gulf on the African coast, I've told you, on Libya coast there. And all the mariners, the sailors used to fear that so much. Yeah, because of it adds a lot of sand, and once the wind throws you there, you can survive. Just so they lower the gear. Other versions say they stretch the sail. This was to lower or take down the mast. You know the mast. Okay. Unfortunately, we are in the language of the guys in the seas and the water. Old ships are not like the ships today. It used to have this, the mast, this thing that used to be, I mean, to be pushed by the wind. That's okay, the mast. Yeah, so it's, the pilot would turn it, the wind hit there, and it takes the direction that he wants to. So the third measure to try to save themselves was like, let us put it down. They did it, and it did not help still. And they have not sat back. They go to their fourth measure, found in verse 18. On the following day now, as the storm continued, they decided to get rid of some of the cargo, throwing them into the sea. They want to lighten the ship. It was another measure to try to save themselves. It did not help here. The fifth and last measure they took is found in verse 19. This is on the third day of the tempest. And here verse 19 reads like this: and on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. At this time they could not see neither sun nor moon, no star. Just to imagine the situation they were in. They started throwing. Now they first throw. Let me tell you, show the difference here. They started throwing the cargo, a migugu. But now they are throwing their equipment, like the sails, the ropes, the cables, the anchors. These are the things that they need. Okay, it's like those who are drivers, you know, drivers have got a tool inside their vehicle. You have their spanner and wheel spanner and all these things. So in case of any breakdown, at least you can do some first aid on your car yourself. And before they thought about getting rid of this, they said, no, let us throw our own things, emigugu, the cargo. But even after that, they say, no, let us throw even our equipment. And again, they did not throw everything, because as we continue, the following weeks, you see that again, somewhere ahead there, you see that they still have some anchors and other things. So they just throw everything at that time. And some commentators say that even the soldiers who are with Julius, remember Julius, the cohort who was escorting his prisoners to Rome, he had soldiers, and some people just think that also they threw their weapons into the sea. So they were just trying to do anything to make sure that the ship is light, and to see whether they can save their ship and their lives. But listen to what Luke says in verse 20. Listen to these friends carefully. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. They still had some hope. Just like the hope you have where you are seated. Nchewa nako. I'm still fighting for myself. And again, the psychology you get in schools there deceives you a lot. Yes, it teaches you about self. Without self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-worth. And that's the language you are seeing, you are speaking every day. Self, I will fight to the end. I will. It is not God with me. It is I will fight. Check your friends, my friends. Did they sit back? And I'm not asking you to sit back, by the way. Well, Pastor B said we should not just do like this in life and yeah, let things. No, it's not what I'm saying. But God is calling you to stop trying to save your life. Because you have a Savior. He died for you. We read in Psalm to show you that the God we serve here is the sovereign God who allows everything that happens to you, whether good or evil. Which church is this that says that evil comes from the hand of God? It is RBC. We read, our brother read for us in Psalm 135, one of my favorite passages in the whole scripture. Psalm 135, especially verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does. And in heaven and on earth, in the seas and on and all deeps. You can just translate, brother.
Yes.
Did you hear that? Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. You cannot stop him. You don't have that power and authority. He decides to strike you, he strikes you. Verse 7 says, he it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth. He is the one who makes lightnings for the rain. He's the one who brings forth the wind from his storehouses. What's that? The storm that was hitting Paul and the friends were coming from the storehouse of our great God. He releases them whenever he sees feet. And he says, go and strike Mark. The storms that we go through in this life, the storms of discouragement, abandonment, and we find you somewhere crying, you have no hope. People go into depression because of the many problems, poverty. You don't have friends. Almost everyone does not like you. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Everyone does not like me. We are all surrounded by storms. Others have got storms of sicknesses, chronic illnesses. You've visited almost all the doctors. No answer. In such a storm, what are you going to do? You are still looking for money from friends and relatives to go to India. You think best doctors are there. Yes, you are not sitting back. Your friends also did not sit back here. They tried five measures. They all did not succeed. What Luke tells us in verse 20 is that we are ready to die because we cannot do anything else. Whatever you want to do to save your life, you've done. But nothing has changed, my friend. Come to the Lord. Inside the ship that is being moved by the storm, there is this master and creator of the storm sleeping. Go and wake him up, master, we are dying. He is the master of the storm. They came from his storehouse. Don't waste your life. Life is not pleasant here. We speak of the realms of the blessed. That country so far and so fair. It does not have potholes that we see in Kampala, the whole capital city of a country. But what will it be for you and me to be there? The storms of sins. In that city, there's no sin. Amazingly, Paul is not talked about here. Not yet, so far. Obviously, I know he's also giving hand. He's helping. But I know, inside he says, I have to step wrong. I have to see the great king, period. Didn't he promise me? Remember, sometime in previous chapters? Told him, no, Paul, don't mind. You need to go and reach Rome and see Caesar. God himself. He was also in the midst of the storm with others. But with that great faith that he told me, and yet he does not lie. But I'll reach Rome. I'll see the great king. Some of you here have the same faith here in this room. You tell all these storms of life, sicknesses, poverty, name them if you want. I don't care. But one day, I'll reach Rome, heavens, and I'll see the great king. You are still fighting for your own life? Without Christ, you are wasting your energy. You are wasting your money. Go back. Jesus Christ is there. Tell him, Lord, save me. I'm dying. It's too much for me. I can't manage. Go home this day knowing that any storm of life coming to you, the Lord allows this for a reason. Don't believe those who deceive you. There are some pastors who have big names. We don't have a big names here. No. No one knows us here. But they have big names. They have money. And many follow, a lot of following. They keep deceiving you that anything negative cannot come from God. The God is the God of love. He cannot allow you to be sick. To be poor like this, no. Psalm 135 tells us, He is the one who allows, who releases all the winds, the tornadoes to come. Give your life to Christ. How can I do that, Pastor Bill? Come, we'll guide you. But the best way that you don't need any guidance, go and kneel down and cry to Him. Do what Peter and his friends did in the boat. Master, we are perishing and you are here sleeping. And he wakes up and says, what is your face, Peter? And he does just this. Cool down. And the storm goes down. And Peter looks at him and says, no, I don't need to come closer to you. What kind of a man this is? What kind of a person this is? Even the storm obeys him. This is my king. I want you to him to be your king today, not tomorrow. Give your life to Christ.
I also go through the same storms like you. Because you might be seeing Pastor Bill come with this super personal Yamala, that's unfinished.
No.
You are even aware how my family went through storms as 2020 was ending. The storm of death. The storm of death. You've just buried this one after 2 weeks. Your brother is dead. They say, no, what's this? But it's because of Christ. We are inside Christ. It cannot move us. Did we see us move? Storms are many and they are still coming. More even are still coming. Come into Christ, you'll be safe. People will hate you without any reason, so long as you're in Christ, you say it's okay. You look for money and fail to get, you say, so long as I'm in Christ, it's okay. We will keep getting Brucella and typhoid, and it's okay. In Rome, where I'm hating, I'll not see you again there. So you can't scare me here. I'm in Christ.
Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus. For the lessons we are learning in these chapters. Lord, I remember when I first put my eyes on chapter 27 of Acts. I asked myself, Lord, how on earth can I preach from this? I don't see any lesson. And I went to you, knelt down and prayed, Lord, what can I tell people here? It's as if all the lessons have ended with chapter 26. And immediately opened my mind, my eyes, and I was like, what? Not knowing that the same thing happened into the mind of Brother Sumani, my brother here. It's amazing. Help us, Lord, and break the hearts of those who think are born again, but they are not. They are just nominal Christians by name. But their lives are far from you. Their behaviors far from you. Their lifestyle far from you. Bring them to yourself, Lord. And those of you, those of us who are part of your saints, Lord, reveal yourself more and more to us. Let us know that, Lord, we cannot go through the storms of life without you. Thank you. In Jesus Christ, we pray.